Hi, my name is Jeff Bertoft. You may know me from such internet shorts as Developer's Guide to the Galaxy. Or Napoleon Dynamite Makes Web Apps. I'm officially a developer slash goat farmer now. That's the most familiar part for CSI.
Jeff is here from Texas. Yeah. I have no idea what we're going to talk about. What are we talking about?
Do I wear this?
Yes, what are we talking about?
Is this supposed to blink?
What are we talking about?
The web. You do have to cut out anything that would get me fired, though, right?
What are some of the most memorable events in web history in the past, was it 15, 20 years that you've been in?
That's a good question. I remember the first time I used JavaScript. Mm-hmm. It was to make drop-down menus on a website. And, like, you know, when you hovered over it, so the menu would drop down. Mm-hmm. It was, amazing and awesome, and it made the page like super duper slow.
Did you use any JavaScript library? Like the millions of
no library
now.
Back then. JavaScript was the library. I think one of the big ones that I remember was when Apple released Safari, because it was like it was the first HTML5 browser, and so it was like, you know, I don't know. I just remember like something was changing then, mm-hmm. you know, because they supported all this HTML5 technology. And
what made you actually go into taking a website and putting it into the store? What was the benefit of the developers that they see at the time?
So, you know, you're out there and you're talking to developers and we're like, hey, you know, you should really have a Windows app. And, you know, at the time we were just kind of kicking off the Windows App Store. And so we were able to tell that, hey, well, there's all these people out there looking for your brand and they're not finding it. You know, they're finding your competition instead. And so we really wanted to make sure that like it was easy for those companies to be represented. And so we would look around and like, I remember like Home Depot was one of the ones that we worked with. And it's like, they've got like a great application that had all of the search and everything, but people were looking for it in the store and they weren't finding it. Mm-hmm. So said, hey, well, let's just use this and your web app can then be in the store. It actually worked out really well. In fact, I remember like Home Depot actually they used it to do even in-store displays where they would have like little tablet-type devices around the store that were running Windows, and you could like go to it and search for things. And it was just all their web app, but it was just the full-screen app that was from the Windows Store. But at any rate, it was kind of like inspirational for us too, mm-hmm. inside of Microsoft, because we're like, hey, this actually really works. Like, we had web apps already on Windows. You could write a packaged web app mm-hmm. starting with Windows 8, and so it was like writing a native app with web, but you couldn't host it on your server.
Yeah. You know, all the source had to be packaged with the app and shipped to the store.
Yeah, exactly. So this was kind of like a shift. We're seeing, well, you know what? Like, developers really seem to like to keep stuff on the server. You know, a lot of it had to do with the fact that if you're writing with a backend framework, if you're on top of Node or your PHP or whatever your backend is, you know, couldn't package that in the app. So for whatever reason, they like to stay on the server, and it made sense. That's how the web works, right? You want to update a file. A web developer doesn't necessarily want to go to the store and create a new package mm-hmm. and then submit it to the store and then wait for that to be distributed. One of the brilliant things about the web is that you just upload your new file to the web server and it's just updated for everybody. So we wanted to maintain that. And so internally we're watching what like people are doing, developers are doing. And so then we created the hosted web apps that was part of the platform. So then the team inside of Windows, they just basically built it into Windows itself. So Windows 10 released with hosted web apps where you didn't need a web app template. You just, you know, created a project in Visual Studio and made the...
Point it to your website.
Yeah, point it to your website. And, you know, that was it.
But now magic, it works.
It was magic, and it was just native. And, you know, with the web app template, there was an overhead that we had to do to get it all to work. Yeah. But having it all part of the platform and being native, it was just super fast and it was super lightweight. So now these hosted web apps, they ran on Windows 10, they ran well on the phones, they ran well on the Xbox. So a lot of people don't realize there's a lot of Xbox apps that are hosted web apps today, because like without needing to use memory for things like an address bar and favorites and share and stuff like that you have for a browser, it's just the simple lightweight web app that runs on the Xbox. So now we have like these web apps that not only across platform, but they're across all of these Windows devices as well. And we've seen developers use them to target the Xbox. We've seen developers use them to target phones specifically, tablets, even like Surface Hub, you know, some of the Surface Hub apps. Like we talked about SAP last year at Build, because their digital boardroom app is, it's a progressive web app and it's geared towards those big screen Surface Hubs, but why not use web? You know, that was what they wanted to write it with. That's what their developers knew. So they built it as a web app. Our transition to Microsoft was, you know, we're doing hosted web apps, and like Google's was doing a very similar thing in progressive web apps. And so kind of we sat down and decided, you know, these are really the same thing. You know, we don't want developers to have to do it more than one way. Mm-hmm. You know, they should be able to write one thing that works, you know, both places and everywhere. And so we decided, okay, well, we're going to adopt service workers. We're going to then basically completely support the progressive web app stack. So when we moved from saying, hey, we're not just doing hosted web apps, we're now doing progressive web apps across the board. Because remember, back then, it was Chrome OS apps, like mm-hmm. Chrome apps. There was a Firefox OS, and there was a Firefox OS apps. And then we had our hosted web apps, and then we started supporting like PWAs for Chrome itself. So everyone had their own like app platform. And so Manifold.js built all of those. As the standardization of PWAs came, we changed the name to PWA Builder. But at any rate, it's a tool that we sponsor. We work with a lot of people in the community. There's a lot of developers that should get a lot of credit for the work that goes on there. But that basically helps the developer community get off the ground with progressive web apps. To be a progressive web app, you need to have an HTTPS site. Mm-hmm. You need to, or you know, HTTP2, an insecure site, I should say. You have to have a service worker, and you have to have a web manifest. So we built a tool that kind of helps you solve what we can. We kind of decided we're not going to try to solve the HTTPS aspect of things. It's super important, but it's also kind of like not something that we want to be in the middle of. Mm-hmm. Like we thought about like, you know, looking at like shared certificates and stuff like that, but when we looked at like the security of things, we're like, yeah, that's just not something that would help us. We think that it's much better for like our friends in Azure and AWS and those hosting places to handle the job of HTTPS. So you have to start with an HTTPS site, but then we'll build a manifest for you. We help you do the hard things like create all the different image sizes. That's one of the things, every platform has its own image sizes.
Something that hasn't been standardized yet.
Well, I don't think it ever will, because like our tile sizes are gonna be different than Android's icons. And so I think that's, you know, I don't know that necessarily will be something that's standardized. Which is okay, because I used to think, well, it would be better if we just everybody used the same image. But developers have told me over and over again, they use different, slightly different images for iOS than they do for Android, and slightly different images for Windows than they do for. So it's kind of working out the way it is now. So we help you do that, and then we give you a service worker to add to your website, to add some, to kind of get you started with that, with some different choices and functionality. And then the last thing we do is we help you get it. First of all, on the web, to download the files and add them to your website, or into the stores. So you can create a package that goes into the Windows Store. And for like the iOS and Android Store, we have polyfills to help you take your PWA into those stores as well.
And you just submit it, get a package and submit it to the store.
Yep.
And we have things like Service Worker now that's become standardized, and we have many different browser vendors are creating service workers into their browsers right now. How's that going to help progressive web apps or just the web?
Service workers are going to allow us as developers to offload tasks into the background. You might even call them background tasks. Having the ability to do background tasks. Now, like the service workers give you a proxy to run your web page through. So now you can handle things independently. Now, like that's going to, like if you think about what Twitter does, Twitter can go get your tweets even when your web page isn't open, right? Even when your progressive web app isn't open. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we could do that with hosted web apps. You could write a background task, but The kind of the tough thing was is that you'd write a JavaScript file that was like independent of your page, and then when it could then launch a page and pass data down, but it was proprietary. It was something that like only worked inside of hosted web apps. So the great thing that we have now is we have that concept, but it runs everywhere. So the having progressive web apps in Edge and running on Windows and in Safari at some point in the future, we already have it in Chrome and Firefox. Now it really becomes an offering that developers can get a lot of value from, because they can go and make their pages super fast by going and collecting resources ahead of time, right? Or storing resources in a cache so that they don't have to go back to the server. I mean, it's great because it's like you can do intentful caching. Like, I'm a developer, I know maybe my page has running jQuery on it, and I know that file is not going to change like until I change it, right? So that version of jQuery is going to stay the same for the next 6 months. Why is it that users have to go back to my server and download it every time that they come to my page? I'm going to store it. I'm going to use service workers to store it in the cache, and they're giving you the opportunity as a developer to control that. So now I can say, I'm putting my JavaScript files in this cache. Don't even bother going to the server. Don't even check to see if they're updated like it does with cache. You go and pull it from here without ever making a network connection. So now it enables things like, websites that can start up instantly, and websites that run offline, websites that can make background calls. So a lot of things that were kind of either limited to native apps, or like in our case with hosted web apps, I mean, yeah, you could do those things with hosted web apps, but it was proprietary. It was code that developers had to write specific for our platform. Now it's something that is standardized and runs everywhere. So I think that the value proposition for developers is growing, and I'm expecting service workers to gain popularity.
How do people get started? So what do they need to do?
Yeah, so the first step is, whether you're just targeting the web or you're targeting a platform, is to make sure that your app is cross-browser compliant. You would think, like, at this point, though, it's not something we have to talk to web developers about, but it absolutely is. You need to make sure that your app works on every platform. If you're thinking about creating an app-like experience, especially if you're going into an environment where you have like store reviews and stuff like that, like you get in the Windows Store, yeah, you want to make sure that there's not like functionality that's broken inside of your application, as you'll hear about it from your users. The expectation, I think, is higher as an app than it is for a website. But it's just the first thing that you should do, no matter what. You should make sure that your app works in every modern browser. The second thing to do is we will help you out. You can go to PWA Builder and get your service worker, your manifest, and images created, and that kind of stuff, your packaging. Then there's really cool tools out there. Google has Lighthouse, and the Edge team supports Sonar and some scanners that will look at your site and tell you where you need to make improvements, or what gaps you might have still for a progressive web app, or even just for a really good website. So I strongly suggest using those tools to help kind of perfect your site. And then you should submit to the Windows Store. You should put your PWA in the Windows Store. Any developer, we're working now like on working with Bing to just have these PWAs indexed into the store, but you don't have to wait for that as a developer. You can join the store. In fact, you can reach out to me, and I'll make sure that you get like a free code even for the store, so that you don't have to pay for a store account.
Can I just put your phone number on the screen so people can call you?
Put my phone number on the screen?
Mm-hmm.
It's 867. You can hit me up on Twitter or email me or on GitHub from the project page, whatever. But yeah, like we'll make it really easy for you to in there and to the site. But it's actually a really easy thing to do, and it's supposed to be that way because your time and energy should go towards your progressive web app. It shouldn't go towards packaging and stuff like that. Then there's one more thing too. When you have your progressive web apps, you actually get a special surprise on Windows. We give you all that API access too that we talked about earlier. So now you can do some other cool stuff that you couldn't before. If you want to like integrate with My People, or you want to use like badging on the taskbar or whatever, that kind of stuff that used to like always just be reserved for desktop apps, now you can make it part of your progressive web app as well. And then, all your users will love you, and then you'll make a lot of money, and you can cut me a check for 5% of your profits, and we'll all be happy.
Okay. think we're done.
So what many people don't understand is that there's like a mommy app and a daddy app, and they get together and then they have a baby app. And then that baby app, it grows old, it grows up, and then, you know, it gets old. It might have some baby apps of its own. And, you know, then at the end it gets pulled from the App Store. And that's the app life cycle.
Okay, then.
I read it in a book. I know it's true.